views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm talking to you today from snowy Seattle here on KKNW AM 1150. If you're not listening here in the Seattle area, you might be listening on the East Coast, WBLQ AM 1230 in Connecticut, New York, or Rhode Island, on one of the 35 stations in Australia, or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. Or if you're listening through the archives, on ChristineUpchurch.com, wherever you're joining us from today, you're going to be happy you did, because we're going to be talking about a topic we have never discussed before in a way that you probably have never heard. But before I get into the details about that, I'd like to say hello to my better half here in the studio, who allows you to hear these wonderful conversations, Mr. Benny Mathers. Good morning, Benny.
Hi, good morning, good day, Christine. And yes, we had a snowy overnight, and yours truly actually camped out here.
Did you really?
I did. It wasn't because it was that bad of snow. I'm fairly used to it. We only had like a half inch to an inch in most areas. Uh-huh. My power at my house, unfortunately, decided to go out around 9 o'clock. So I hung out for a little bit. Yeah, I hung out for a little bit and, you know, was texting some neighbors and they were getting reports back. And so was I around 11:30 midnight. Still wasn't back. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to stay awake in a cold house. I'll just go to work. So we made it work. Yep, yep. Don't tell the boss, though.
You know, I got about 3 inches out where I am at.
Wow.
I'm further out. And it's still snowing right now.
Yay!
Off and on, a little bit of freezing rain. So it's exciting weather. And what people don't realize, you know, like people in other parts of the country may hear this and think, they're talking about 3 inches of snow. That's nothing. Well, in the Seattle area, it's unusual that we get snow. And also, because it's unusual, we don't have the infrastructure to deal with all the side roads getting cleared.
I think we're getting better. I think it's also the other drivers that think they can combat it, you know, and then those that are just like, I'm staying home.
Yeah. But it's beautiful out,
yes,
and I'm grateful for it. And it's 'tis the season too.
Walking into winter wonderland.
Yes, yes. And you know, I'm really looking forward to our conversation today because we are going to be talking about the state of youth sports and parenting our children and grandparenting our grandkids who are, you know, going into various sorts of sports. How do we do it in a way that is conscious, that is supportive, that is beneficial for the individual who's playing the sports? Because I tell you, you know, there's a lot of experiences out there I've actually personally had, seen amongst other parents, and I've heard things in the news. We're not always supporting our children the way we should. And our expert today has tackled this in an entire book. His name is Dr. Jerry Lynch. He is a sports psychologist. He's the author of 11 books, including his latest, which is called Let Them Play, The Power and Joy of Mindful Sports Parenting. He's the founder and director of Way of Champions, which is a performance consulting group geared towards mastering the inner game for peak performance in athletics. He's got over 35 years of experience as a sports psychologist, a coach, an athlete, and a teacher. And he's actually had experience working with Olympic, NBA, and NCAA champions. He's also a parent with 4 athletic kids. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Dr. Jerry Lynch. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Christine. Thank you very much for having me today.
You know, Jerry, this is an interesting topic, and you know, until I'd gotten your book, I never thought in these terms. I mean, I knew that back in the days, I've got 2 boys, and when they were younger, each of them was athletic in one way or another. One didn't really have a natural tendency towards that, but he had a desire to participate and play. And the other was a very athletic young man. And I tell you, parenting in both situations was challenging, and it could be very, very uncomfortable at these games. What's going on here that's sort of creating what I think is an uncomfortable situation and sometimes a very toxic situation for our children?
What's happening, there's been a lot of change. And, you know, when I was a little boy and being very athletic, I never saw my parents from when the sun came up to the sun went down in the summer. We were all out on the playground and in the sandlot playing ball and having a great time.
Right.
And somewhere, I don't know where it was, what year it was, maybe it was the 1980s, around 1984, 85, I think, all of a sudden people realized that, gee, you know, this is a great opportunity to have a business. So youth sports became big business.
Wow.
And by that I mean they had all kinds of competitive club soccer and basketball, the same thing, and and people started having camps and charging money, and then parents got involved because they had to pay the money, and then they were thinking, well, what are we going to get out of this? And hopefully, you know, maybe my kid can catch the next train to Stanford, you know, and get a scholarship.
Right.
So it really started to get all out of kilt. It started to really become what it wasn't, you know. It's a game. It's a kid's game, and they love the game. And so we started taking the game away from them by going to the games and then becoming their coaches and becoming obnoxious screamers in the stands and what have you. And the bottom line is that so many parents today are measuring their self-worth as parents, whether they're good parents or not good parents, by what happens to their kids, the outcomes, results. And so they're totally invested in a situation where they really shouldn't be worried about their kids, because their kids are going to do just fine and they'll do what they can do. And, yeah, we've just got to give the game back to the kids.
So what happens in, you know, what kind of situations can arise when the parents become so involved and so attached?
Well, if they're watching a game and the referee or the umpire isn't calling the game the way they think it should be called, they start getting upset by that. If the coaches aren't giving their kids the opportunity to get more minutes in a game or get more playing time, if there's an argument between the coaches, the parents get involved. So there's any number of situations where parents can get kind of perturbed. Parents getting perturbed with other parents on the opposing team. There are stories of parents actually coming out of the stands and having fist fights.
Oh, my gosh.
And there are stories where a parent I believe this happened up in Massachusetts, brought a gun to the game and shot one of the coaches. And there's all kinds of extremes going on. But even though, as I say that, I want your listener to realize this, we're only talking a small percentage of people that go off the deep end. Most of the parents that I'm writing for are parents who are struggling, as you say in the beginning of your show. They're having a difficult time, and I want to give them a roadmap. I want to give them a compass, something that they can lean on and rely on to know that they're going in the right direction, so that they really get a sense of our true north in this project called Raising Athletic Kids. And so most of us are well-intentioned. Our intentions are very pure. And all we're saying is, you know what, this doesn't feel right. We're not having fun. Our kids are not having fun. And they're screaming out and craving help and guidance. And so this is why I wrote this book. And I believe it's really helping people right now.
And, you know, Jerry, I think that as a parent, one of the tricky things that we have to, this fine line we have to walk is, do we support our children by letting go and allowing them to learn from their mistakes, or do we make sure that they're going down the path so that they have the opportunities? It's kind of like we're afraid of doing too little and we're afraid of doing too much. How do we walk that fine line?
Well, it's interesting. It's a great question. And I believe what we have to do is we have to look at sports in a different way. Let's look at sports as a wonderful kind of a microcosmic classroom for all of life. It's a wonderful opportunity for your child to learn all the wonderful lessons of life. Now, how are they going to learn lessons for life if we're trying to protect them all the time, if we're trying to save them from failing, if we're trying to interfere so that they are very successful? I think failure is a wonderful thing. I love when my kids fail and make mistakes. Wonderful opportunity for them to learn. And when you learn from your mistakes, it's really deep. You really get it. It's really part of who you are. And so athletics, oh my, you can make mistakes every other minute. And there's failure and there's errors and setbacks. I love parents who just allow their kids to go through the journey, fall down, get themselves back up, and realize, you know what, this is the way life is. So it's a preparation for the bigger game of life.
Yeah. And, you know, we're going to have to go to a quick break, but when we return, Jerry, I'm going to want you to give us an example of how a parent can consciously help a child through a mistake, an error, a failure, a learning experience, and also sort of get into the topic of connecting mindfulness to sports parenting. More with Dr. Jerry Lynch here in just a few moments.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
What is a brilliant culture? And how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you design a culture that is authentic, innovative, and successful. Learn how to create change with Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence, and Claudette Rowley. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit ClaudetteRowley.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you sick of feeling overworked with no motivation? Take a break from the daily grind. Life coach Nicole Eisler is here to provide a healing journey of optimism. Passionate and caring, Nicole is no ordinary soul. Her dedication to helping everyone has no limit. Witness the power of positivity. Tune in every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific for Positivity Party Radio with Nicole Eisler on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit BigDreamAwakening.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Welcome back to the Kristen Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today to Dr. Jerry Lynch, the author of Let Them Play. Now, Jerry, before the break, you were talking about how we can take, we as parents or grandparents or, you know, guardians, aunts and uncles, we can take a situation in sporting, you know, in a sporting event where our child or grandchild has made some sort of error, they have failed in some way, and turn that into a really positive experience, a learning experience. So can you give us an example of how you might handle that as a parent?
Yeah, what I'd like to do is if a child makes a mistake or they lost a game or something like that, the first thing I want to, after the game, the first thing I want to say to them is five words: I love watching you play.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. You know, in fact, that's the only thing we should be saying.
Uh-huh.
Unless they're really hungry, then you say, who wants to have lunch? You know? But beyond that, the kids, first of all, they're not interested in debriefing a game. They're not worried about what's gone on in the game, but they want to get on with their life. If they feel kind of down or they feel disappointed or they feel upset, which some kids do,
right.
Then what we have to do is we have to just wait a little bit. Just don't analyze it unless the kid wants to talk about something right away.
Uh-huh.
After a little time has passed, a little time being maybe a few hours, and the kid still looks a little upset and down about the outcome or result, the first thing you want to do is you want to approach them by asking questions and then listening to their response. And here's my three favorite questions to ask my children. Number one, the first question, and this is a shocker for most parents to hear, is, so, you had a game today. What went well?
Oh, I like that.
You know, so the kid's looking at you rather strangely and saying, what went well? Dad, I lost, or I struck out three times.
Uh-huh.
I know, sweetie, you know, I know that's true. But what went well? Let's try to pick something up that went well. So now what's happening is, the kid has lost or made a mistake or struck out or whatever or missed the shot at the buzzer.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're asking what went well, so it's forcing the child to go inside and say, even though the outcome was not desirable, there are things that happened that were really good. That's the first question.
Right.
You follow that up with a second question. Instead of saying what went wrong, you say to them, what needs work?
Uh-huh.
Now, that becomes proactive rather than reactive.
Yeah.
So many of us, and I know I've gone there myself, you know, been very reactive, you know, oh, my God, you know, you lost and everything else, and what went wrong, what else went wrong?
Right.
Just get into what needs work, and they'll tell you, well, I guess I need to put more time moving my feet around so I get more comfortable in the paint in basketball. Or maybe what I need to do is go to the batting cage more often. Or maybe what I need to do is play catch more often with you, Dad. Whatever it happens to be. But what needs work? And the third question, this is the one that really brings together the essence and beauty of loss, setback, mistakes, and errors in our life. And that is, you know, Sean, why are you a better athlete because of that setback that you had on Saturday, because of that loss, or because of that experience? Why are you a better athlete? And what they're going to do is eventually see that all of their losses and setbacks and mistakes and errors are connected to a learning process. So, Dad, I'm a better – now, they might not be able to say this at first, but you're there as the guide to help them.
Uh-huh.
Dad, I'm a better athlete because I've learned from that mistake, and I'll never do that again, and I've learned ways to combat that and to come out in a different way on the next game. And that's true whether it's a whole team. I mean, I use this with professional teams in the NBA the same way.
Uh-huh.
You know, we lost last night. Why are we a better team because of that loss? And so what we're doing is we're training them, A, to get the answer inside themselves, uh-huh, rather than rely for our feedback on what we think, and B, they're learning that loss and mistakes, errors and setbacks are our wonderful teachers. You know, we lose, but in this way we win.
Right.
And that's what I really want my kids to learn. So that's a good way to address this whole issue of failure. And how valuable is that for life, whether they got a C on an exam, or they didn't get into the college they wanted to, or they, who knows what. I mean, every day our kids are having setbacks and failures. And by the way, so are we, and it works on us too.
Yeah. I love this approach, because instead of A, feeling like a failure, and B, feeling like there's nothing you can do about it, it's a very empowering way of looking at the whole situation. That it's a learning experience. That it's
wonderful.
That there are positive aspects of it. Right. Even those failures turn out to be success in a different sort of way. Beautiful.
Yeah. And you know, and then they don't worry, and they don't get nervous, and they don't get afraid about the possibility of failure, and consequently, they're more relaxed, and they experience less setbacks.
Right.
You know, it's the very tension about worrying about failure. The fear itself of failing creates failure.
Yeah.
Whereas,
and it seems like every child is different, because although, you know, I had one child who didn't like it if his team lost many times in a row. He wasn't always really hard on himself. And another who was like really hard on himself after the game. You know, how do we, you know, besides the after the game talking and sort of reframing, is there something we can do during a game to reduce our child's tension and fear?
You mean while the game's going on?
Yes.
No, absolutely not. Just let them play.
Yeah.
That's why I titled the book that way. Let them play. You know, Steve Kerr, who, for those of you who don't know, is the head basketball coach of the Golden State Warriors. Now, everyone that does know basketball know they're doing pretty well, right?
Right.
Now, he wrote the foreword to this book, and he's a very dear friend, and I have a consultancy with him in the organization. And when he wrote this forward, I was in awe of it, because in that forward, he says, this is what we do with the pros. We don't jump in and try to change things. We encourage them during the game when the opportunity presents itself, because we're the coaches. So as parents, let them play, and let the coaches take that over. It's their job to talk to your child.
Yeah, the sporting events that I've been to for my kids, parents are yelling at their children to do stuff, to not do stuff, almost constantly. I mean, it's kind of disturbing to see.
Oh, disturbing and distracting, and the kids hate it. And the kids, and now I'll tell everyone this statistic, because of what you're saying, Christine, is out of the 33 million kids right now today in this country who are involved in sports between the ages of 6 and 17, by the age of 14, 78% of them are going to drop out.
Yeah.
Because they're not having fun.
Right.
And they're hearing all this screaming, and they feel pressure.
Yeah.
And it's a drag. It's not why they're playing the game. They're playing the game to have fun, and the parents are there trying to make them do some things that they don't want to do. So it's really astounding to me, with that statistic, to think that we could really ruin a child's life by being overzealous during a game. Now, in my book, there's a whole section which it includes a code of conduct. This is perfect. This is like, you need this, because these codes of conduct will say, look, when you're at the ballpark, this is the proper conduct. This is what you need to do. If you're going to yell and you're going to do this, this is what's going to happen to your child. This is what you're really accomplishing by doing that. So instead of that, try this and try that. So all these suggestions will help keep the parent on the path of being the best sports parent they can be. And these little gems of wisdom that I offer you, this is the mindfulness. This is the way to be mindful. And, you know, you're going to win. You're going to win with your child. And that's what you want. And you want your child to play sports. You want
sure.
them to play sports. It's good for them.
It's absolutely good for them. It's interesting because one of my children, when he was very young, the first time he played basketball basketball in a game setting, I think he was probably 5 or 6, he didn't understand this concept of keeping the ball away from kids on the other team. And if somebody was after a ball, he'd like kindly hand it to them. So, you know.
How precious is that, right?
It was perfect. It's one of these memories. And unfortunately, even children that age had competition so ingrained in them that
yeah.
kids on this team were like yelling at him and stuff and really angry, but it was so sweet.
Yeah. I remember when one of my sons was in a, he was running in a race. I think he was like 11 or 12 years old,
uh-huh.
a running race. And, he was running side by side by this one other kid, and the kid fell down, and Brennan stopped and helped the kid up.
Yeah,
so I'm thinking,
great.
Wow,
yeah.
this is what I want in the world. Why
yeah.
should anyone interfere with that? You know, there would be dads who would be out there screaming, "Don't stop, keep going, let him."
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
right.
like, we, you know, these children really, really know, and what we have to do is we have to watch and listen and. And be there for them when they need us. And they'll tell you if they need you. And,
you know,
it's real simple.
Jerry, just reminded me of a story. When my oldest son was playing intramural basketball, he fell down at one point, and there was a kid who, like, reached down and helped him up. And later, this young man, it's so unfortunate, it was this random killing. I mean, he was murdered at age 19, 20. Very, very sad situation. Just a bright light. And that moment where he reached down and helped my son
yeah.
is forever ingrained in my son's memory and his heart. It's like, you know, the,
yeah.
the other team camaraderie, you know, yeah. from this kid, it's not the same thing. That one moment
mm-hmm.
made such a difference in my child's life. And now that that young man is gone, it
yeah.
lives on within him. And it's like, that's the stuff that really matters.
That's the stuff that matters. And what we're trying to do here in our conversation is to help the listener to remember these stories and to know that what really matters is having fun and helping each other. Now, here's the thing, Christine. There's nothing wrong with competing.
Mm-hmm.
Competition, the Latin root of the word competition is competere, and it means to seek together. That's what it
oh.
means.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so that when I am running a race and the person's next to me, and let's say they don't fall down,
uh-huh.
I want them to run a good race, because if they run a really good race, it's going to sort of challenge me to dig down deep and find out what I'm made about too, and what
mm-hmm.
what I really have. And I usually compete. I usually perform at my highest level when I'm in a situation where I'm competing with somebody else. And what I'm really doing is I'm trying to do the best I can, and that brings out the best in you. And then you do the best you can, that will bring out the best in me. And that's the true spirit of the Olympic Games.
And
that's the true spirit of sport, why it was started. And competition is a positive thing. So many parents say, oh, we don't want to compete and everything
mm-hmm.
else. No, the world is competitive. We just need a healthy way of looking at competition. And I'm just suggesting that this is one way we can do that. And yes,
yeah.
picking up a child that falls down, there's nothing wrong with that. We should not interfere with that. And that's such a beautiful, precious story that you tell.
Yeah. We have to go to another quick break, but more here in just a few moments.
Be unstoppable. Who do executive women count on for up-to-date information on everything from stilettos to being heard in the boardroom? To achieve excellence, you must first take control of your life and develop a successful strategy with the Unstoppable Diva. Tune in to Up or Out with Connie Fife, Mondays 5 p.m. Eastern, as she cuts through the BS to guide you to become bold, connected, and unstoppable. For more information, visit uporout.com.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stress? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, today we are talking about how to be a good supportive parent when our children are playing sports. And my guest today is a sports psychologist and an expert about bringing mindfulness to the parenting of our children when they're involved with athletics and outside of that as well. He's the author of Let Them Play, The Power and Joy of Mindful Sports Parenting, Jerry Lynch. Jerry, you know, you talk a lot about mindfulness, both in your book and you've talked about it here on the show. How do you define mindfulness sort of more generally, and how do we both apply it as parents and sort of teach our children mindfulness within the context of sport?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question, because even though the concept mindfulness is something that's been around for over 2,000 years, it's now finding its way into the homes of many, 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 many of us. And it's becoming a household word in many parts of the country, not all parts of the country, but in many parts. And of course, writing this book, I want to reach everybody. So I like the question because I think a lot of people see mindfulness and they run away from it. So let's define mindfulness. There's a wonderful author. His name is James Baraz, that you probably have heard of. In his book, Awakening Joy, if I have this quote correctly, if I could quote it, it's mindfulness to him is simply a way of being aware of what is happening right now without wishing it were different. And I love that. And he talks about enjoying the present without holding on. And when it changes, which it will, to be with whatever change there is. And I guess in my life, when I think of mindfulness, it's just a sense of awareness. You know, it's like, hey, let's stop and breathe and let's be aware of what we're doing. And it takes practice. Clearly, it takes practice. And one of the practices that would help an individual to become more mindful is the practice of meditation. And again, another household word over the last 10 years, many people now are aware of what meditation is. Yeah. And just each day, just taking time, 5 minutes if you have it, 10 minutes or more, whatever, to just sit and breathe and focus on your breath, and it relaxes you and quiets the mind. Mm-hmm. And it sort of trains the nervous system to slow down a bit and to think about what we're doing before we actually do it. So it creates a gap between stimulus and response. So a referee calls a foul on your daughter playing a basketball game, and instead of reacting right away, you have that space. Maybe it's a 3 or 5 second space where you realize, well, you know, maybe it was a good call, or maybe it wasn't, or maybe I should not be screaming at the ref right now.
So
mindfulness becomes that practice. It's a practice, and you've got to want to do that. You've got to want to be more mindful. And I have not met a parent, believe me, Christine. I mean, I ask parents, how many in this room, raise your hands if you'd like to be more mindful, and everybody raises their hand. And I follow it up with a question that says, okay, so how many of you know exactly how to do that? And nobody raises their hand. They want it, but they don't know how. This book will teach you how. And the other thing is, even without meditating, if you were to read a book such as mine, and you know there are other books out there. I don't claim to have the answers. I have a way from my experience and my expertise. But in this book, everything that I write about, especially the code of conduct section, is a way that you're going to be able to help yourself be more mindful.
Right.
And that's what's important, you know.
And we've talked about mindfulness here. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, as a parent, you might want to read this book and then say, you know what, I think I'm going to start practicing meditation. Well, great, wonderful. Or I don't want to do that. I don't have time, the famous excuse, I don't have time. But maybe what I'll do is be more mindful, and I'll be able to listen to my child more intently, which is really what I need to do. And I'm going to remind myself, listen, and then I will be more mindful. So there are many, many different ways. And I think this book will really guide you there. And I really believe that we all want to be more mindful. I have not met anyone that doesn't want to be.
Yeah. And, you know, we're no strangers on the show to the concept of mindfulness and some of the practices, including meditation, to bring us there. But this is the first time that we've ever had a guest on who's connected that to parenting within the context of sport. And I think that it's this great thing to apply within the context of sitting there in the stands as a parent. It's like all of a sudden, you know, the foul was called and we're feeling reactive. We'd like to yell at the ref. And it's not just about like being mindful enough to stop ourselves from behaving badly or doing something that's detrimental to our children. But it allows us the opportunity to sort of quietly focus within about why we're feeling so reactive, why we have such great attachment. What's that about? Because as you're saying, really, it's a game. You know, we're supposed to let them play and allow them to learn and have fun. And yet we can sit there as parents and have so much attachment to certain outcome for our kids.
Yeah.
And
well, Christine,
that helps a lot.
You're taking it to another level, and I know you realize this, because it's one thing just to sit there and catch yourself and not be reactive, but what you're doing with it, which I think is splendid, And something I would love to do every time is once you realize that there's another way is to really go inside as that parent, as a human being, and say, what is my need here? You know, like, what am I doing? Why am I focusing in on that? Why is this, you know, why is it so important to me that my kid is a leading scorer on the team? Why is it so important that my child wins the race? And then you start examining yourself. And from this experience, now we have a parent learning about life, learning about themselves, changing behaviors, not only at the ballpark, but in the bigger game of life. So your question is very penetrating, and it invites parents to look at themselves and say, gee, what an opportunity for me to grow. My kid's playing sport. They can grow, and I can grow at the same time, and I can become a more fully functional human being and a better parent in addition to that. So it's a multidimensional dynamic experience when we choose to take on the challenge of parenting our children in sports. And I've written this book so that we can address exactly what you're asking.
Mm-hmm. So how do we help our children learn the application of mindfulness within the context of sports and within the context of life in general?
Well, you know, the meditation piece, if you're thinking of bringing that to your six-year-old, forget about it. it's not going to happen. What you can do is you can invite your child to sit down and for a couple of minutes and just close their eyes and ask them if they can follow where their breath goes. That's very non-threatening, and it's very easy, and just spend a few minutes with that. And then when they're doing that, say, imagine yourself doing this, and then let them use their imagination. But I wouldn't spend more than 5 minutes on something like that. When the child becomes older and they're getting a little more serious about playing sports, then I would introduce them to the concepts that I teach in the book about how to meditate. When I had one of my children when he got to be, I guess Brennan was about 16 at the time, and he became real serious in terms of his sport. Then what I did was I took him to my office. We sat down. I said, listen, this is what I'm teaching. This is what I'm teaching all the athletes and the pros, and this is what I'm teaching all the Olympians that I'm working with. And he was open to listening to that. And parents can do the same thing. And the methodology is in the book, and it's real simple. And it's not like you have to be a Zen master sitting on a mountaintop kind of meditation. It's more a way of just quieting the mind and clearing the mind, and you can, as a parent, guide them there. Now, let me forewarn you, if you're not doing it in your own life, the chances are the kids won't follow. So again, as Gandhi once said, we have to be the change we want to see. So on my office door, I always, when I'm meditating and I'm in a session with myself, I have when my kids were younger, I had a sign. I still do, and I have it on my door, meditation in progress. And they knew not to bother me, you know.
Right.
What really happened there was they saying, gee, wow, my dad is taking time to do this thing called meditate. And then they say, why do you meditate? What does it do for you? Should I do that or can I do that? I said, that's up to you. I'll teach you. So they're learning through my modeling. And in terms of an actual exercise like that, that's the best way for your kids to learn. Now, let me finish it up by saying this. Let me just say this.
Quickly.
Now, you don't have to have mindfulness training going on in the house. When you teach the kids that we were talking about, hey, what went well, what needs work, and why are you a better athlete, guess what? You're teaching them to be more mindful.
Yes, perfect. Okay, we have to go to another quick break, but more here in just a few moments.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com.
Tune in to Dynamics of Diversity Radio, scripting the new narrative for immigration with leading experts Kripa Upadhyay and Steve Tanijo on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will remove the noise that often accompanies discussions on this topic and share a new perspective on the dynamics of immigration and diversity, ever reminding us that together we are all at the core of innovation, excellence, and positive change. Visit OrbitLawPLLC.com for upcoming topics.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Jerry, this hour is flying by, and I just absolutely adore the fact that you are helping to teach parents to be better parents within the context of sport. And, you know, before we go further with the conversation, I'd love if you could share with our listeners the ways that they can connect with you and learn more about your work.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of information out there, and, you know, we're drowning in a sea of information, so I'm not trying to, like, just give you more stuff, but if you're interested and you want to take this a little further, you can go to my website. I have a lot of videos that are free and a lot of articles that I've written, and it'll deepen your experience from this conversation for sure. So go on to wayofchampions.com. And I would even entertain, now watch, I'll get like 13,000 people emailing me, but I usually get back to everybody at some point who emails me. So you can email me at wayofchampions@gmail.com.
Okay.
And so I'd be happy.
Wayofchampions.com and wayofchampions@gmail.com.
That's correct. Real simple and direct. Yep.
Yeah. So, Jerry, how do you deal with a child who really is, like, incredibly athletic, and it's clear on some level when we're being mindful that we can discern that it's their life purpose to move forward, say, into professional sports ultimately? How mm-hmm. do we nurture them and still remain mindful parents?
Well, if this is a direction, and I have one of those children, by the way, who's 28, and he's now a head basketball coach in college. And
great.
What I did was I just provided opportunities. We've got to take the cue from the kid, and not to do all this work when we don't even know if they want it. So be a good waiter. You know, a good waiter is in the wings, and when someone at the table is sitting there and they want something, all they have to do is look in your direction, and you're right there to fill up the water or to bring dessert or whatever it happens to be. Being a good sports parent is, and with a child, as you say, who really sees this as a career path or something they want to pursue, to tell them that you're willing to support that and provide what they need for you to tell them, let me know how I can be more helpful, as well as let me know if I'm getting in the way. And they'll come to you and they'll tell you. They'll say, you know what, there's this team I want to be a part of, or there's this coach out there who really knows how to teach shooting in basketball, so I need a shooting coach. Could you help me with that? They'll tell you. They know what to do. But what you don't want to do is you don't want to go out there and try to create things that they're not even interested in. So take the cue from them. Ask them. You know, tell them you're here to help, and listen when they tell you what they need, and then you can go ahead and be an assistance to them.
So how do you discern as a parent when they are asking for something because it really brings them, you know, the joy of their direction, and when it's really about peer pressure or this sense of inner pressure to become better?
Well, I think you have to watch their behaviors, and an example of a kid under pressure is when they're so obsessed about making a mistake or the fact that they lost a match. When kids are so overly concerned about the outcomes of an event, you know that they're feeling pressure from somewhere. It might be the coach. It might not be anyone in the family, or it might be their peers. And when you see your child suffering because of outcomes and results, if the suggestions I make in the book about addressing that don't help, what you need to assume is that there's something going on outside, and that's an invitation for a conversation and saying, you know, I'm really concerned. You know, you're so worried about the outcomes and results. Are you feeling pressure from somebody? Do you feel like I'm putting pressure on you, or your dad's putting pressure on you? And have that conversation just like you would if you were a CEO in a corporation and one of your workers was going in the same direction. This is life, and this is what happens in relationships. This is what happens in families, and so we have to talk about it. I think we need to listen more. I think we need to ask questions more rather than jumping in thinking we know the answers and that we know what's best for our kids. We have to listen and then ask questions, and don't forget to validate your child when it's appropriate.
Right. So, in just a minute or two, do you have a way for us to encourage our children to sort of help their teammates become more cooperative and help the environment to become more about happy competition as opposed to sort of cutthroat competition?
You know, I love what you're saying, but again, it's not the child's responsibility for that. It's the coach's responsibility.
Okay.
You know, Steve Kerr with the Warriors, he creates the environment where there is cooperation, where there's togetherness, where there's unity, harmony, cohesiveness, enjoyment, fun. So the coach has a responsibility in this. If the team's not having that, you got to look at the coach.
Right.
And it's not the parents' job either. The parents' job is to make sure that the kid understands what the coach is trying to teach, if the coach can't explain it, which is cooperation. And so the parents need to be there to nurture that concept, to encourage their child to be more cooperative, to be more of a teammate, and to learn that lesson, because cooperation in this world, you know, God knows we don't have enough of it. We don't have enough cooperation, and we don't have enough cohesion and togetherness and working together for a higher cause. And so that's where the parent comes in. But the child's not responsible for that. The coach is responsible for that.
Okay. And before we go, what were those five words that you said were really important that we as parents should say to our children after a game?
Right. Well, there's two sets of five words. The most important set is, I love watching you play. Just like I can say to you, Christine, I love watching you work.
Yeah.
You know, I love watching you dance. I love watching you play. Those five words, I love watching you play.
That's great.
And say nothing else. But if you want to throw in another five words, I mentioned.
We're out of time. Sorry, Jerry. We're out of time. I want to say wayofchampions.com. Let Them Play is the book. Jerry, thank you so much for joining us here today.
You're very welcome. It was a pleasure.
And thank you for joining us. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.